There are a couple of quick cases to note here that may be of assistance to you. Moreno versus Ingram held that a chiropractor is competent to testify as an expert in a personal injury case on matters within the scope of the profession and practice of chiropractic. And Hong versus Bennett, these cases are cited in my paper for you, held that a chiropractor was qualified to testify about the nature of injuries and whether a referral to other professionals for additional treatment of those injuries was reasonable. So let's briefly talk about the situation where you want to do both. You want to controvert the reasonableness of charges and the necessity. In this situation, it can be completed by the same expert so long as that person is qualified to speak to both aspects. Now, again, a physician or a chiropractor may be qualified to speak to the necessity of treatment, but not the reasonableness of charges. Some may be qualified to speak to both. So it's just very important that you discuss your needs with your potential expert and make sure that their qualifications are going to meet the 18001 requirements. So let's talk about the form of your counter affidavit. 18001 does not give us a form for a counter affidavit. 18002 gives us a form for the plaintiff's original affidavit, but we do, however, have some guidelines in 18001F regarding the contents of a counter affidavit. And those include, it must give reasonable notice of the basis on which the party seeks to controvert. It must be made by a person who, or it must be signed before a person authorized to administer oaths. It must be made by a person who is qualified. And it may not be used to controvert the causation element of the cause of action that is the basis of the civil lawsuit. So the easy parts of that. Make sure your counter affidavit is signed and executed in front of a notary public or an equivalent person who's authorized to administer the oath. And stick to the reasonableness of the charges and or the necessity of treatment. Don't let your expert go into causation. Causation is going to open you up for a motion to strike. Now, it might just be a part of your affidavit that discusses causation, but you're putting yourself at risk for having your entire counter affidavit struck. So just don't go there. That's a whole nother analysis. If you need to attack the causation of injuries, that needs to be done through a designated testifying expert, and that's going to fall under the Dobert-Robinson standard versus the 18001 standard. So the more challenging aspects of the statute, make sure your expert is qualified, and make sure that they give reasonable notice of the basis for controverting the affidavit. So again, for qualifications, we've talked about that earlier. Make sure that you obtain a CV or a resume from your expert. Attach it to the counter affidavit as an exhibit. The expert should also state within the counter affidavit their qualifications. And your expert needs to demonstrate their qualifications to offer all parts of their opinion. So if you have a medical doctor offering an opinion on necessity, the CV is likely sufficient. But if that medical doctor is also going to opine on the reasonableness of charges, they must demonstrate within the counter affidavit that they are qualified to comment on those charges. And that qualification may come from outside of their CV. The reasonable notice standard is very key in these. Make sure that your expert's opinions are contained within the four corners of the counter affidavit. And make sure that they are specific in identifying what aspects of the original affidavit are being addressed. Your expert should also state within the counter affidavit their basis and the methodology used in reaching their opinion. So for example, if an opinion comes in from your expert that the usual customary rate for a CPT code would be $100, they can't simply state that the usual customary rate should be $100. They also need to state the basis for that opinion, i.e. did they rely on a specific fee schedule? Did they use a regional database? Stating the opinion alone is insufficient without stating the basis of the opinion. Now, finally, your counter-affiant expert will typically also submit to you a written report. If there is an accompanying report, it should be attached to the counter-affidavit and listed as an exhibit. However, do not let your written report take the place of the contents of your counter affidavit. Those opinions should be within the four corners, and the basis should be within the four corners of the affidavit, not merely relying on the report that is attached. So at this point, I'm going to toss it over to Mr. Gibbs, who's will speak to you for a while, and I will be back in the last 10 minutes to talk to you about responding to a motion to strike.
Morning. Thanks for being here with us. When Janella and I were asked to speak on this, the topic was going to be Janella speaking about how to present a counter affidavit and me talking about how to try to strike a counter affidavit. And about 10 days after we accepted that invitation, this In Re Allstate opinion came down and really changed that landscape and also obviously changed the presentation that I'll have for you today, because you really can't strike a counter affidavit for the most part. In fact, District Judge Stephen Yelenowski said it's hard to imagine a counter affidavit that wouldn't comply now after In Re Allstate. So let's talk a little bit about that. Am I going to be able to control the slide, or is that you, Janella?
That is me. So just prompt me and let me know when you're ready.
Okay, let's go to the next one. So if you want to recover past medical damages as a plaintiff, you have four jobs and or four things you have to do. And that is, number one, you got to do causation, which is not an 1801 issue, but you're going to have some expert testimony or evidence to support that the breach of the duty caused the injury and the treatments that were necessitated by that injury. You're going to have to get into the paid versus incurred, you know, and establish what was actually paid or what was actually owed. But the two things that are really the most important part for today are the next two, which are you're going to have to prove that the services that were provided were actually necessary and that the charges for those services were actually reasonable. And so we'll focus on those last two. If you go to the next slide, and I think you can skip the one after that too.